our next guest. Damien is currently a student, but we had, I think Carl was up here before, and he was talking about you as an inspiration to him, even though Damien's another student. But what I say about these men when I meet them, and the Mission Helps Women and the Mission Helps Kids and all that, but when these men come on stage with us, they have a glow. They have a lightness. They float. They have an energy that is unlike regular mortals like us, because they have been given a second chance at life, and they know it. Yeah. Every day we wake up, we get a second chance, but they know it and they value it. So they just, they glow. And I'm so happy to have you here live, Damien, to tell us your story.
Absolutely. I'm honored.
So share that with us. We have it on tape. We'll give you all the goods, I promise, in the next hour. But you're here live. How did you come to the mission, sir?
You want to know the last days or what?
Well, I mean, look, it's only a 4-hour show, so I'm not sure that we have all the time to get you. But no, what was your low and what brought you to the mission?
It was the low. I think the biggest thing was, outcast. Drinking cut me down. I had some long strength of sobriety early in my life. I started at age 20. My father was blessed enough to pass on, you know, the possibility that I may be afflicted with the same illness. And he was able to give me an opportunity, and I went out to California, and I got sober and stayed sober. I was 20 years old. I was literally hopeless of falling down drunk at that age. But when we don't do the things that we're supposed to be doing and stay with around the people that reminds us what it is that we need to be doing on a daily basis, then, I was at one of those moments. It had been about 17 years dry, and I was down in Tijuana, Mexico, and that was the story. One of the coworkers said, "Hey, you've been sober for 17 years. You can have one.
Yeah.
What's going to happen to you?" And that's what I did. I had one. And that one turned in over 12 years out there struggling, in and out, doing it only for, you know, the family, doing it only for everybody else in reference to what it was of trying to keep people at bay, not dealing with what I needed to finally deal with, which is the one separation that I had. And we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. But them final days was, it was dark. My sister came out to, I was living down in Minneapolis. I was working at the second largest bank in the world. All I had to do was show up. Great job. My sister took me in. Hey, all you have to do is get a job, go to meetings, get a sponsor, you know, stay around the fellowship, get your life back in order, and get reunited with your family and friends and get your life back on track. Well, I did that for a period of time, and that's all I did. Got the sponsor, didn't do the work. Went to the meetings. You can be in the meeting and not be in the meeting. Showed up at the meetings, got my little slip sign, trying to prove to my sister, hey, I'm going to meetings, doing all of the things as a show that I'm doing recovery. That's not what was going on. You know, as soon as I had the opportunity, I moved out of my sister's house, moved down to downtown Minneapolis, got my own apartment. That was the story. So I was sober for about 18 months, specifically. It was about 18 months. And went to the store. Got the job in February, literally in February, and I'd used up all of my time because of drinking. There were days where they were so dark where I did not know whether it was either day or night when I looked up. By the time the end came, there was absolutely no one. Family had already abandoned me, friends, no job. When you're talking about hopeless and despair, I was at the epitome of the bottom of the bottom, eating out of trash cans, being the guy that was going in to pretend that I was a good Samaritan trying to help people to grab their trays and take them out and whatever food or scraps that they had on theirs, I would put that in my pocket and I would go outside and I would eat that. That was my nourishment. After that, it got to the point where I could not steal, so I wasn't going to jail. I was too fearful of going to jail. So it got to me sleeping outside. They had already changed the locks. I'd already gotten served the eviction notice. Once I got served the eviction notice, I only had so much time, but I kept holding on for the hope of hope that somehow, some way, somewhere, someone would come and help me. But there was no help. So I was sleeping in the across the street from Teen Challenge. There's a bathroom, and I slept on that bathroom because I could not get into the apartment. They have changed the locks on the doors downstairs, so I could only piggyback off of one of the neighbors to go inside and to be able to get a shower if it was going to be a cold shower, and there was no food. So then it got to the point where the final day was coming, which was February the 20th. So on February the 19th, the decision had to be made. What was I going to do? So I had to make the decision of 4 socks, 4 pair of pants, 4 shirts, whatever coat that I possibly had at the time, and a suitcase and a backpack is all I had. And then it finally got to me that this was it. I am now homeless. There is no one coming to help me. So the gravity of the situation finally hit me. And I finally hit my knees. And this was the moment where I literally called out to God. And I asked God to please help me. Help me. And in that moment, God literally answered at that moment.
You're hearing Damien's story. We want to hear more of it. Damien got help from the Union Gospel Mission. It is your opportunity to help men like Damien. The phone number is 952-858-8300. Now is your moment to help Damien in his. Hear the rest of his story when we get back and make the call. 952-858-8300. 952-858-8300.
Yep.
952-858-8300. If you will listen to Damien's story, you will pick up the phone. Thank you again for sharing, Damien.
You got it.
When we left off, he was in his worst moment where he knew he was going to be homeless. What happened then, Damien?
I grabbed a pair of pants. Once I grabbed a pair of pants, a phone fell out. Once that phone fell out, I had to charge it. Once I charged the phone, first phone number in there was my sponsor that I had originally that was out in Maplewood. I picked up the phone at the neighbor's house, used his phone because my service was gone. He let me use it. Lanny answered the phone. He said, Damien, you're still alive. I said, yeah. He said, where are you at? I let him know what my situation was, the gravity of it. He asked me if I could spend the night where I was. Was it going to be safe? I told him yes. The next day, he said, I will come and get you at 9 a.m. He asked me if I knew about CRC, that's Christ Recovery Center, which is part of the Union Gospel Missions umbrella. I told him no. He said, don't worry about it. We're taking you there. He took me there the next morning. I had my first breakfast that I had not eaten in over 3 weeks. He took me down to Union Gospel Mission, took me to the Christ Recovery Center. Once I got inside, there was nothing but fellowship. Pictures that were on the wall, guys that had looked like they had what I wanted. They looked like they have accomplished. Joy, things that I had not had in my life, happiness, they spread that. And since I've been there, they've done nothing but miracles. I had not been in school for almost 38 years. I finally went back because of the first lie that I ever told on job applications that I had my GED. I had not been to school for 38 years. Union Gospel Mission provided me the opportunity to do and get my GED as of October the 19th.
To help Damien's recovery. 952-858-8300. You have an opportunity to help Damien right now. 952-858-8300.
Thank you, Damien.
Absolutely.
Thank you.